You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
We are back with the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. This is The Boss and the Gloss. And it's been a pretty good night so far.
Take it.
Oh, absolutely. We got to speak to Faye Vincent.
That was awesome.
Hour number one. Boy, he knows all things baseball, doesn't he? Just the perspective of time and what he's seen throughout the game.
And he was commissioner and deputy commissioner first during the Pete Rose scandal, then the lockout in baseball, then the 1989 Beta Bay World Series with the San Francisco Giants and Oakland A's, where they had to suspend for 10 days because of the earthquake. That guy had a crazy time.
He saw a lot. And, yeah. Well, you know, from my perspective, I always knew him. I always followed him because he went to my college. I went to Williams College, a very small school. It's where Faye Vincent went. And nobody really talks about that or really knows about that. So it was fun to speak to a fellow. Let me put it this way. Do you know the mascot of Williams College?
No, but could I take a guess?
I will tell you this. If you guess it, I will dress as the mascot for Halloween.
Oh. What colors are you? Give me that.
Actually, it's purple.
Oh, well, that doesn't help.
No, so the Williams College team are the purple cows.
Would not have been my first guess. I'm going to go ahead and be honest.
It's not a ferocious team. It might warm up Chris Tubbs' heart. He is all things purple. He represents the Vikings every night. When we are in here, he's lit up a candle, and he's in his weekly
vigil.
His prayer vigil for the Minnesota Vikings, which seems to be working, I might add.
Super Bowl, I'm telling you, you go into the bye week 6-2. But here's the interesting thing for the Vikings, real quick, with your weekly Minnesota Vikings update. They go into the bye week. There's a lot of chatter that Teddy Bridgewater right now, if they're going to get to the next level. Case Keenum's been good, not great. You need somebody that's going to elevate. Teddy Bridgewater, if he's cleared, it sounds like he could be back under center as early as week 10 against Washington, which would be in that next game.
Do you think Case Keenum is just he's a great career backup? Is that how you would qualify him?
Yeah, he's a guy that can temporarily get you to where you need to be. But if you want to get to the next level, he's not that guy that can win you a championship. He can get you to the playoffs, but I don't think anything beyond that.
All right, well, keep hope alive for your Vikings, Chris Tubb. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, a big week in college football this week, and there was some shakeout this time. I mean, TCU, a big, big loss. Mm-hmm. Penn State with a loss. Let's talk Penn State, Ohio State, probably the most anticipated game of the week. We were talking about a week ago, we were noting that Penn State had three tough matchups.
The trifecta in their schedule.
Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State. And they did very well against Michigan, of course. But then Ohio State, what a game last week.
What a game. And it was really won by Ohio State late in the fourth quarter, where JT Barrett, I think he just silenced critics at that point. He's back to his Heisman form. I mean, look at his fourth quarter. 13 for 13 for 170 yards. And he ran for another 95. He had 328 yards total. What a game. Three touchdown passes.
That's the best game I've ever seen JT Barrett play.
I agree. In his entire career at Ohio State.
That's where he played so well that you might think he could be playing at the next level and playing at a very, very high level. Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to just put the team on his back and go. Okay. And their defense did a great job. Credit the Ohio State defense.
So BCS standings about to come out. Ohio State might have worked their way into them. Penn State probably fell out. But there's a lot of college football left to play. Let's take a break for a minute and talk to Christian Vetter, who is on the ground at Arrowhead Stadium. He's got an update between the Broncos and the Chiefs, Monday Night Football.
All right, first quarter's in the books here. It is 14-0 Kansas City as we get ready to start the second quarter. At the Chiefs lead 14-0. Marcus Peters started it off with a 45-yard fumble return to make it 7-0, stripping former running back, Kansas City running back Jamaal Charles. Stripped it, recovered it, returned it 45 yards for the touchdown. And then Alex Smith comes back. They put a drive together, a 29-yard touchdown pass to make it 14-0. That was to Travis Kelce. Then the Chiefs get the ball back. Marcus Peters, interception, returned it to the 43. The Chiefs drive the ball to the 9 and then pull a gadget play. Tyreek Hill, a short pass into the end zone. It was intercepted by Darian Stewart in the end zone. So the Broncos take over the ball, and they have the ball right now in Kansas City territory about the 27-yard line. Give them a chance to get back in this game. 14-0 Chiefs, 15 minutes left here on the clock as we start the second quarter.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the update. Now, Chiefs are always hard at home. I mean, Arrowhead Stadium has been very friendly with the Chiefs
toughest,
over the years.
Right. Toughest places to play. But the Denver Broncos might want to be looking for a quarterback. The trade deadline they have till tomorrow.
Well, goodness, yes. So if you missed it in the first hour, we announced that the Patriots have traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers for the 49ers' second-round pick, which will be right at the top of that second-round draft. So very big news there. And we will we'll get a chance to talk to Ryan Leaf about all things football next segment. But let's go back to
that. Ohio State, Penn State.
Well, Ohio State, Penn State, that was the biggest game of the week and certainly had significant impact on the BCS standings about to come out.
I think so, too, because Penn State was one of the undefeated teams going into that game. So now they have one loss on their record. And I think that's going to be the challenge for the College Football Playoff Committee tomorrow, their first rankings to come out, is how you rank these one-loss teams. And obviously, this was a one-point loss, 39-38. What I do think it highlighted, as well as obviously a shakeup a bit in the top of the CFP, is Saquon Barkley, the superstar running back, Heisman front runner. After that, he had a 97-yard opening touchdown run, which he does often. I mean, that's kind of a signature of his, which is so impressive. But after that, he had 44 yards only on 21 carries, and that included a 32-yard touchdown run. So the Ohio State defense was really able to not only focus on him, but truly shut him down after that opening kickoff. What I think I noticed with that, and they were still competitive. Penn State was still competitive with Ohio State. Take a look at Stanford, because you know I have my love for Bryce Love, the running back out west at Stanford. He was in a boot on Thursday Night Football. Did not play for the Cardinal when Stanford took on Oregon State, who is not a powerhouse in the Pac-12. And Stanford barely eked it out 15-14 against Oregon State. And what that told me, I think even with Bryce Love on the sideline, it showed to me it boosted his Heisman stature because his team didn't have any offense without him. He really is so critical to that Stanford offense. Whereas Barkley, while he had a very low, putting up low numbers for him, Penn State was able to put 38 points on the board. They're a much more complete team. So I don't know. I think Bryce Love is more important to his team.
All right, there you have it. The case for Bryce Love over Saquon Barkley for the Heisman Trophy. The other big matchup, TCU fell.
The other unbeaten went down.
To Iowa State. I mean, Iowa State now is a world beater. They beat Oklahoma a few weeks ago. They've now beat TCU. Really impressive what they've been able to do. They've got two losses on the season. They're not in the CFP hunt, but they are.
But they're relevant. I mean,
they're relevant.
Right.
And they're the team that's beaten some of the big ones and knocked them out. I mean, TCU is going to take a fall now.
And including, you know, UT. I mean, Texas is still working on, you know, on being relevant, but they are a powerful program, and they're used to easily taking care of Iowa State. Credit Matt Campbell, two-year head coach Matt Campbell, who came from Toledo and is doing a standout job with this Iowa State program. Now, he did have some help this week with TCU quarterback Kenny Hill having really probably the worst game of his entire career. He just chose the wrong time to have it. Three turnovers, 12 of 25 for 135 yards. Yikes. No offensive touchdowns for TCU. And 11 penalties for over 100 yards. It was just a bad, bad week for the Horned Frogs.
Bad week for the Frogs. They will fall.
And it shakes up really, honestly, it puts a chances for the Big 12 to put a team in the playoff in peril. It really does. They were kind of looking like the great white hope, other than Oklahoma. We'll see how that
goes. Oklahoma will need to win out. They still have to face Oklahoma State. That's this weekend. And then Oklahoma will have to play TCU. But if Oklahoma wins out, they arguably get into the top four. Mm-hmm. The the dynamic, of course, is you've got Alabama and Georgia undefeated and undisputably in the top four. There are other undefeateds like Wisconsin, who I think have played powder puff schedules. I don't think Wisconsin belongs in that top four.
Right.
But so let's put Alabama and Georgia up there. Then you've got some one-loss teams and Wisconsin and Miami undefeated. Of the one-loss teams, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State, you got to pick two to round out the top four. Do you like two?
I do like two. I hate to say it because I'm a USC Trojan, but Notre Dame deserves one of those spots because their loss, their only loss, was to an unbeaten Georgia team, and it was 20-19 early in the season when things kinks are still being worked out. And then what they did to my men of Troy, you know, last week with four touchdown, you know, whooping on the Trojans. I still think there's more to prove for sure. But that was a sixth straight Irish victory this weekend when they beat North Carolina State. They're 7-1. I can't ignore that.
Okay, so you're going to put Notre Dame in your top four.
I am.
And you've got one more spot.
I'm going to give it to Penn State.
Penn State.
I really am. I think last year they felt cheated. They won the Big Ten championship, and Ohio State got the nod over them. They have continued to stay at that same level. They haven't lost a beat. And it is hard to repeat excellence year after year. The stars have to align. And they've got not only Saquon Barkley, but Trace McSorley, the quarterback. They have weapons. So when, you know, offensive weapons, when you're doubling down on Barkley, that opens up the passing game. So they've really, James Franklin has done a fantastic job in resurrecting this program and really bringing it to not only relevance, but really at the top of the college football chain.
Well, you may have heard Urban Meyer's comments about Trace McSorley. He said he had the competitiveness of Tim Tebow, which is sort of the ultimate compliment. And coming from Urban, who, of course, coached Tebow, that's quite a compliment from McSorley.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, so those four would be arguably fair. You're leaving out Wisconsin, who really hasn't played anybody. They do have to face Michigan coming up.
And, but Michigan's not scary anymore.
And Michigan may end up being a four-loss team before it's all said and done.
I think with Wisconsin, it's tricky because you look at their schedule, and hey, it's not their fault what side of the Big Ten they are on. But it's a cupcake schedule, as you mentioned. And I don't think we may not see Wisconsin being challenged until the Big Ten Conference Championship.
And that's how the schedule shakes out, no doubt.
So it'll be interesting to see how the committee treats strength of schedule
and
the controllable part of your strength of schedule. What did you schedule out of conference? Because you do have control over that. Within conference, it is what it is. So we'll see how much that matters.
Well, cupcake schedule or not, in a minute we're going to talk to a man who is not a cupcake, Ryan Leaf. He will weigh in on all things college football, including your beloved Pac-12, the quarterback situation there. We'll get a great visit with Ryan Leaf, the former quarterback of the San Diego Chargers and Washington State. Coming up next on the Boss and Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. Ryan, welcome into the show.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate your joining us. I guess I'd love to start by asking you to look at the collegiate quarterbacks this year. You know, coming into the season, there was so much excitement about this pool of quarterbacks. There were thoughts that there would be five or six guys going number one or going in the first round. How do you view the pool today as the season's come unfolded?
Well, I think everybody's been pretty disappointed in it, the way that they have performed, of course. I see a lot of them, a lot of the skeptics, or at least the talking heads, trying to, you know, make hay with it and saying, you know, it doesn't matter about the stats, they're still first-round talent. And that may be true, but I would have a tough time drafting the guy first if he were led the nation in turnovers, in Sam Darnold's case or in Josh Allen's case up in Wyoming, where he's simply had a game where he was like 9 of 27. I mean, it hasn't mattered if you were first-round talent. If you were on a poor team, you still performed. You were the bright spot of that football team. So, you know, I think Baker Mayfield has been, you know, far and wide the best quarterback this season, the way he's played. And he isn't the one that everybody was really talking about. I think he's solidifying himself as an opportunity to be an NFL quarterback on Sundays moving forward.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned the Pac-12, Ryan. So I am, don't hold it against me, a USC girl. So I do want to ask you specifically about Sam Darnold, because he was the far and away number one New York Jets fans wanting their team to tank so they can get him. If you're advising Sam Darnold, do you tell him to stay in school? Do you tell him to come out?
Well, my advice always is going to be to stay in school because of course, the fact that I didn't, and it would have been the best decision I made. It's also a very personal one with you and your family. You know, depending on where you're at, maturity-wise, and how important, you know, an education is to you and everything like that. But I would, of course, recommend him to stay. I think this year's performance has proven that he could use some more looks, some more opportunities to play against quality defenses out there. And I think that with the team coming back, they could be very, very, very competitive and, you know, make a shot at a national championship. I know everybody thought that was going to be the opportunity this year, and because of the two losses they've already had, they've been taken out of the college football, you know, the college football
picture, really.
Outlook.
Yeah.
Yeah, the picture, except for the fact that they still possibly could win the Pac-12, because this weekend's game against Arizona most likely will determine the South champion, who will be the representative in the Pac-12 championship coming December.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, you know, it's interesting, since USC fell so poorly, four touchdowns down to Notre Dame, now that the spotlight is off Darnold, he played phenomenally this past weekend. So that's another thing that's kind of a maturity issue that would be good for him to stay. Now, looking back at your Cougars at Washington State, how are you feeling about them right now, led by Luke Falk and head coach Mike Leach?
Well, it's a bit of a mess going on right now. You know, they showed up in Tucson and kind of laid another egg. But this time, inexplicably, you know, Coach Leach benched the all-time leading passer in Pac-12 history and replaced him with a younger version, I think, of what Luke Falk started out as. And he gave him a bit of a spark, but also turned the ball over four times. And they lost by 21 points. They have Stanford coming into town this week, and Coach Leach has announced that Luke Falk will start. I don't know what that means. Starting the quarterback controversy in week 9 or week 10 of the season can't do a lot of good for that football team. And I've kind of said all along that Washington State under Mike Leach is around an 8-4 or 9-3 football team year in, year out. And, you know, where that's not going to win you any championships, it's going to endear you to that fan base in Pullman, because they had so many down years. And if you're going to a bowl game every year, everybody's going to be pretty happy. I hope at some point that everybody feels like, you know, they're entitled to a championship run, and hopefully they can continue to improve. I just, you know, it's a tough conference. They got tough football teams, and they got a game against Stanford, Utah, and UW to finish the season. So, you know, they're sitting around the 8-4, possibly 7-5 scenario. Utah's not as good as we thought they were going to be, but was a little shocked at what went on this past weekend, and it kind of proves to my point that I've always kind of said that Mike Leach's offense is a very system-oriented offense, and you can kind of plug any quarterback in there. But, you know, a guy who's been the starter for 4 years and who has the most wins, too, ever at Washington State at the quarterback position, it was a little shocking to see him be pulled and not put back in last week.
We are talking to Ryan Leaf, a former quarterback at Washington State. Ryan, to shift gears and talk about the NFL for a minute, have you had a chance to watch Deshaun Watson? And how did he look to you?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I got the great opportunity this year to mentor that group of quarterbacks at the Combine in Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
And I got to see firsthand immediately that this guy was a true leader. He was the cream of the crop of the quarterback draft class, and boy, has he proven it! He's out playing anything that I anticipated him to do. It almost is shocking that Coach O'Brien waited a whole week to name him the starter, because he's been so impressive to rival quarterbacks like Kurt Warner in their first 7 starts and surpass them, especially against a defense like Seattle's. Very impressive. He got a lot of credit to. Given to him, too, by Richard Sherman, who has been in that defense for years, and they're very good. And the best compliment you can get is from Richard Sherman saying that we've played them all the legends, and you by far played us the best of anybody out there. And as a rookie, that's fun to watch. And I bet you get the opportunity to really like the idea of what that future looks like at Houston with him at the helm.
Oh, we are so excited here. It's so true. So tomorrow, Ryan, is the college football rankings the first time they're coming out this season. And then we've got the Heisman watch going on. Do you see an East Coast, West Coast anti-bias with both the college football rankings and the Heisman, looking at Saquon Barkley versus a Bryce Love? Last year it was Derrick Henry versus Christian, or 2 years ago, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, the Pac-12, we haven't gotten any love in the college football rankings. Maybe some years it's been relevant. But do you think there is a bias? And the late games, does that add to that?
I don't necessarily believe that there's a bias. I believe it's difficult for people to stay up and watch these football games. I think so. They're not informed, I think, is the best way to say that. Mm. The Pac-12, I think, is the most competitive conference in the country, you know, from top to bottom. As you saw, Stanford, who's an elite team in the North, almost get knocked off by Oregon State on Thursday night. So, you know, from top to bottom, I think they compete better than anybody, and that's a problem because they beat each other up, and most likely they're not going to have a representative in the college football playoff this year because of that competitive nature or the ability for them to be so competitive with one another. And so I don't know necessarily if it's a bias. I think it's just not being informed enough. As for the committee, you know, if they're doing their job right, they have the film. They're seeing all the football games and making that determination. But I don't necessarily think the Pac-12 has given the committee a team really to place in there. As we see right now, even in the AP rankings, you know, the Pac-12 doesn't even have a team in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. So, Ryan, just a couple minutes left, but we're going to let you pick your top two choices for Heisman. Now, you've got to recognize that Carla here has a lot of love for
Bryce Love
at Stanford. But you get your own two choices. She's made hers.
Right now, I like, you know, Baker Mayfield for me is the front runner. Just for what he's been able to do. I think T.J. Barrett got into the mix here soon, or this past weekend.
Yeah, he really did.
But Bryce Love for sure, from what he's been able to do at Stanford. He missed last Thursday's game. And
you
think
saw
that
what happened.
Exactly. And that might be a determining factor to the people who are voting on, like, you know, Stanford is just not the same team without this young man in there. But for me, it's Baker Mayfield right now. If he's able to continue and win this big game against Oklahoma State this week and continue TCU and then win the conference championship, I think, you know, he's got to be thought of as the guy at the top, because their loss against Iowa State, he still played very, very well. It was more on the defensive side of football on the reason why they lost that ball game last year or last month. So he's my front runner right now, and I expect him to continue to play that way.
Okay, can I ask you one last quick question about Baker Mayfield? Some say he didn't project to the NFL well because his arm may not be strong enough. How do you evaluate him for the NFL?
Well, to me, he's a winner. You know, yep. You know, a lot of people said Deshaun Watson's arm wasn't strong enough. Mm-hmm. That was a bit of a knock on him at the combine, that they said it wasn't strong enough. They said Patrick Mahomes' arm was so much stronger. And he's been able to transition pretty darn well. He's thrown more touchdowns than anybody ever in their first seven games. So I think that Baker Mayfield's arm is good enough. His leadership is what I bank things on, what his ability to take a team year in, year out, and make him at the very top of that Big 12 conference. So,
and I love his footwork, the way he moves around in the pocket. He really is very good at buying time.
Okay, enough love for Mayfield. Okay, you too.
All
that's
right.
Enough.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your taking the time to join us here, David and Carla on SB Nation Radio. Ryan Leaf, thanks so much.
You bet, David. Carla, thank you very much.
Thank you, and congratulations on MacGyver, your new son.
Yes, ma'am.
That might be his son's first shout-out on national radio. MacGyver.
You heard it here.
You did it very well.
Yeah, that's exciting for him. Great. Great. But, yeah, I love talking to him. Of course, you know I could talk Pac-12 all day long, so that's easy. But I think, you know, you look at the college football playoffs over the past couple of years. Well, since it started, there's really, other than Washington last year, Pac-12 is not getting love. The Big 12 is not getting love. But rather than thinking those are weak conferences, I love that he brought up they're really strong conferences. They're beating each other to a pulp. It's a dog-eat-dog conference. You know, at the SEC, that used to be top-to-bottom scary. You've got Alabama and Georgia at the tippy-top, and then pretty underwhelming after that.
Yeah, big drop off this year.
Yeah. So it's really easy to rise to the top of that. So I love that. That gave me some good things to think about for the Pac-12. Make me not feel so bad.
All right, when we return, we're going to have the much acclaimed, highly anticipated segment, the He Said, She Said segment. Ooh. On the Boss and Gloss of SB Nation Radio. We'll be right back.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to The Boss and the Gloss, and we have Christian Vetter at Arrowhead with an update on the Monday Night Football game, Broncos-Chiefs.
All right, 5 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Chiefs adding to their lead, now leading 17-3 over the Broncos, putting together a 47-yard drive. Seven plays, took 4 minutes off the clock, making their way to the 8-yard line. Had a first and goal at the 8. Tyreek Hill coming up with a 25-yard catch to the Denver 17. Kareem Hunt, an 11-yard run. He was pushed out at the 8, but the Chiefs coming away just with a field goal, a 25-yard Harrison Butker field goal to extend their lead 17-3. Some numbers here for you. Alex Smith, 8 of 16, 134 yards, a touchdown. He had a 29-yard touchdown in the first quarter to Travis Kelce. Meanwhile, Trevor Siemian, 4 of 10, 48 yards, and an interception to Marcus Peters. They trail Kansas City 17-3, just 5 minutes left on the clock here in the first half.
Christian Vetter, thank you so much from Arrowhead Stadium. Okay, we're now going to the highly acclaimed segment, the He Said, She Said segment.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
I am the boss and you are the gloss.
That always makes me laugh.
But we're not going to fight. We're going to talk about what other people said.
That's right. We're going to let them fight.
Now let's start with Tony Romo. He's not in a fighting mood. Tony Romo has turned into everybody's favorite commentator. And he got a chance to, do the play-by-play.
Really interesting play-by-play.
It was a cat who found its way out onto the field. It was on the run. Let's hear what Tony Romo had to say about the cat.
Oh, look at this, Jen. This is like how you ran in high school. Look
exactly.
At that. Perfect form, extension. I mean, and doesn't even get phased that there's people around. Just look at the change of direction. Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
Well, he turns it uphill. Ooh.
What I love about Tony is you just see his personality. He's having fun.
He's
supposed to be a fun job. It's like our job right here.
Exactly.
I have fun with the gloss.
Throwing shade at Jim Nance. He's saying, is that how you ran in high school?
Yeah, maybe not.
But I loved his, does he get 2 feet in? But, you know, think about this. That call was at the Ravens Thursday night football game. Joe Flacco and the Miami Dolphins, the 40-0 weird game. It was like a pre-Halloween weird thing. Maybe this was a black cat, because do you remember? There was Kiki Alonso's late hit on Joe Flacco and that slide. And then Ndamukong Suh had Ryan Mallett by the neck when Mallett took over. It was a weird game. So moral of the story, don't let cats roam on your football field.
No putty cats out on the field. All right, let's go to actually the second category, and he said, she said. This is a sort of a lesson in media relations. We're going to do a contrast.
Trifecta of media personality.
Yeah, compare, contrast here. Let's start with somebody who has fun with the media, Greg Popovich, the great coach of the San Antonio Spurs.
I'm holding him back here, 30-all in Miami. I'm interested.
Defense has struggled, folks. Defense has struggled.
It has, but the offense has been outstanding. How do you get a team like with a new young point guard and Aldridge without Kawhi Leonard playing so effectively at that end?
I beg my butt off constantly. It's embarrassing.
That's actually worked, so that's good.
If it works, I'll do it. What the hell?
See, Van Gundy says, how do you get him to play so effectively? And he says, I just beg my butt off. And so he's having fun. Popovich enjoys the ride, does he not?
He enjoys the ride, and he's not one that is, we would say, it looks like he's enjoying things. But you know what? He really does. And Jeff Van Gundy's great to pull it out of him. It's like, how do you do that? And he says, you know, beg my butt off. And it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. That's the perfect answer. And I love that. I love that little banter back and forth. That's good.
All right, at the other end of the spectrum, somebody not having any fun with the media.
I bet I know who's coming.
This is the great coach, Bill Belichick, who is asked about whether he likes a grinded-out style of offense. And listen to Bill. And look, first you'll hear the question, and then Belichick himself.
Coach, the game was played predominantly in the teens. Is that a game, a style that you're comfortable playing?
What are you talking about?
Well, not scoring a lot of points, not high-flying offense necessarily, more low-scoring, grind it out. Is that a style you like, the team prefers?
Well, we prefer to win.
Charm, charm, and charm.
A man of very few words. But, you know, I'm actually going to defend Belichick on this one. Normally, I'm kind of rolling my eyes, classic.
What are you talking about, Carla?
Exactly. David, did you just rip your sleeves off there?
Yeah, I'm looking like Bill Belichick.
I mean, honestly, the question from that reporter, do you like playing that style? What style? One without many points? Gosh, I don't know. I'm thinking he doesn't really. I think if you ask a dumb question, you get what you get.
Fair enough. Okay. So let's go to another person who was working with the media this week. It was Cam Newton. Why don't you give the backstory of Cam and why this conversation happened?
So this conversation, this was his midweek obligatory press conference. I think it was Wednesday or so. They had just come off a rough loss. Cam was getting a lot of heat. And Cam gets a little salty with the media. So this is how he takes care of it.
Is this offense, and I know you had several at Detroit, New England, do you think you guys have the wherewithal to do that consistently week in and week out?
Next question.
Thanks. You probably get.
So that beep was him walking out. He said, next question, and as soon as the guy started to ask it, he was gone.
Well, see, with Cam, to me, it's not what he says, but what he wears. He's always got those great outfits post-game, but this was just in the middle of the week. Maybe he didn't doll up quite as well.
And, you know, the Carolina Panthers, interestingly enough, tweeted out a press release that they supported him. They said, hey, he gave them 9 minutes. That was plenty. But, you know, we talked about this earlier, David. It's like Cam Newton is the leader of the Carolina Panthers on the field and off the field. When he didn't speak to the media, that was kind of the first time that I saw him really being kind of obstinate. When he lost Super Bowl 50, he had the hoodie over his head, didn't want to talk to the media. I could understand that. That's the biggest stage. You're the MVP guy coming off an MVP season and you laid an egg in the Super Bowl. Okay, that I give him a hall pass. This, I don't. Come on. All the guy's asking is, what do you need to do on offense? And you can't be a middle school kid and just walk away from it. Just answer the questions. It's 10 minutes of your life.
All right, well, what is it, old spanning the globe? We've covered three different people and how they handle the media.
Interesting.
I'll stack rank them. I'll put Popovich way at the top and everybody else way below.
I'm with you.
All right, one more, he said, she said. This one from Richard Sherman. And he's a guy who does not give compliments regularly or very well.
And he's very outspoken.
You know, he's so competitive. He's always talking negatively about players such as Dez Bryant and other people he has to face.
But he's the all-star cornerback from Seattle.
Yes.
Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom, great cornerback for the Seahawks. And this is what he had to say. So right after the Texans-Seahawks game, along comes Richard Sherman. He says about Deshaun Watson, you played the best game any quarterback has ever played against us, and we have played all the legends. I respect how you hung in there and kept battling and battling. Big-time comments. Big-time compliment
huge.
From Sherman to Deshaun Watson.
And that doesn't happen easily. I mean, he's very outspoken, and it's usually on the negative. But they saw it firsthand. I mean, you think about this. The Texans went into Seattle, one of the loudest CenturyLink fields, one of the loudest stadiums. I mean, typically tons of false starts, no false starts on the Texans, first of all.
Yep.
A rookie quarterback who should be rattled by the Legion of Doom and a very mobile quarterback in Russell Wilson. And boy, they went toe-to-toe. I mean, it came down to a last-second, you know, beautiful drive by Russell Wilson, but really barely pulled it out, 41-38 over the Texans. But you look at what Deshaun Watson hung on the legion of what I'm going to call doom today. 402 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. He passed Kurt Warner for 19 touchdowns in the first 7 career NFL games.
Incredible.
That is unbelievable. Did you hear that? 402 yards passing against that defense.
And Will Fuller has been a very significant addition to that receiving core.
Huge.
when he's got the speed to stretch the field, and it's also opened up things for DeAndre Hopkins.
It has. It absolutely has. And single coverage on DeAndre Hopkins yesterday, which was very interesting. Richard Sherman on him, and DeAndre Hopkins did very, very well. What is also interesting with what the Texans did yesterday, the Seahawks, it was the first touchdown that the Seahawks have allowed to happen in the first quarter, and it wasn't only one. They scored two. They had one within 2 minutes of the game starting. Beautiful, like 56, 57-yard pass, Deshaun Watson to Will Fuller. And then they scored another one. They have not given up a touchdown in the first quarter all year until this game. So pretty exciting if you're a Texans fan.
And I guess the one thing that's lacking now in this story for the Texans is the defense is not what it was at the start of the year.
This is why I'm saying it's so hard to repeat as things, because here are the Texans with the number one defense last year, and attrition from injuries is now they're our weak spot. Yikes.
Texans announcing a big trade today. They're trading Dwayne Brown. We announced it earlier if you missed it. Dwayne Brown will go to the Seattle Seahawks. So, interestingly, the two teams met on the field and then worked out a trade. Dwayne Brown, very vocal in his return, very negative about the Texans, negative about owner
Bob McNair.
And clearly, after his holdout, he was on the outs with management. So Dwayne Brown shipped to the Seahawks for a cornerback, Jeremy Lane, and a draft selection to be determined. Seahawks need a tackle. They lost George Fant earlier in the year. They will pick up Dwayne Brown and plug him in very quickly.
The sad news is Texans need a tackle, too. We just have a very young offensive line, and we're lucky that Deshaun is mobile and can do that, but they're going to have to pick up some O-line people along the way, too.
Texans O-line has played better than a lot of people predicted. When Dwayne Brown was a holdout, and given that the Texans really had not invested much, they played better than thought, but part of that is Watson's so mobile. He really compensates for the problems on the front line.
Mm-hmm. What I think is great to see with Deshaun Watson is, yes, he's very mobile, which is great, but I don't think he's going to be like an RG3 or a Colin Kaepernick, because he is comfortable in the pocket, and his passing is spectacular. Yes, he had three interceptions yesterday, but the last one I don't count because that was a Hail Mary. You have to put everything up. A few rookie mistakes here and there, but it's not him being uncomfortable in the pocket. He doesn't have a problem in the pocket, which is great. So we'll see. But it was interesting to see, and I love that Richard Sherman, who is a seasoned veteran and a very tough critic, really appreciated the talent that Deshaun Watson brought into their house in Seattle and the numbers that they hung on that defense.
No doubt. That's the he said, she said segment. And before we go to break, I might just refresh for those who did not hear it. The Patriots have traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers. And we were all speculating then, what would the Patriots do as a backup? What would they have? I mean, they traded Jacoby Brissett before the season started. Now they've traded Garoppolo.
You look like you've got the answer.
Well, I think it's going to be Brian Hoyer. Hoyer is a backup on the 49ers as we speak. Presumably, as Garoppolo comes in, the 49ers will let go of Hoyer. Hoyer was with the Patriots. They're all familiar with one another, and he's that sort of journeyman quarterback that would
pretty steady journey
fit in right now. And then the Patriots can go, as they often do, and draft a quarterback they can develop to be Brady's successor. Maybe the time would match up better with somebody new in the draft this year.
There you go. I like that answer.
Interesting time. So maybe it's going to be Hoyer to the Patriots. But what we know right now, it is Jimmy Garoppolo going to the 49ers in return for a second round pick that will be at the top of the second round, mm-hmm. because it is the 49ers pick, and they're not having won, they're going to certainly have picks right at the top of mm-hmm. each round.
Mm-hmm. Pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting night. Both
moving
Garoppolo and Dwayne Brown on the move in the NFL, with the NFL trading deadline looming on Tuesday. When we come back, we will wrap it up. We will refresh the Monday night game. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So as I sit next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson, I can tell you that the Chiefs have opened up a big lead, 17-3 over the Broncos. What happened to the Broncos?
What has happened to the Broncos all season?
Hmm.
Gina, do you think Brock's going to get the call up?
No, I don't know. Paxton Lynch, I guess, has been injured. He's obviously the future, or the bet they've made on the future. And Trevor Siemian doesn't look like the present or the future right now.
No, he really doesn't.
We've covered a lot of ground, though, tonight. We've learned in college football that when the BCS standings come out, Carly, you have four picks. We're going to go. You're going to go Alabama, Georgia, mm-hmm. Notre Dame, and Penn State. Mm-hmm. And you're comfortable with Penn State over Ohio State, despite what happened last weekend.
Ah, shoot. You're right.
Well, I don't know that I'm right. There are going to certainly be people who say Penn State's the better team. Ohio State has lost to Oklahoma, and there's still room to play.
You know, I'm still going to go with Penn State.
Okay.
I don't know that that's interesting, because do you remember last year Penn State won the Big Ten championship and Ohio State got the nod?
Mm-hmm.
And then they were shut out by Clemson, which was interesting.
Lots of ground to cover.
I know, and it's still early, 4 weeks to go, but it is fun. I love getting the first one kicked off.
Tonight was the night
we... something to talk about, right?
Well, additionally, yes. And tonight was the night we figured out that Richard from West Virginia has a crush on Carla. I'm happy for both of you.
I take the fifth.
You take the fifth. Tonight, we got a glimpse into your Halloween plans. So
you're not buying my bubblegum.
No, I'm actually hoping you'll come up with a better costume. What will you be? What will you do on Halloween? Will you go out trick-or-treating, and what will you wear?
Well, I've got to tell you, I'm going to be watching World Series Game 6.
Okay, but surely you'll dress up. I mean, you'll put on a full regalia costume.
You're just going to make me say it, aren't you?
I want to know it!
Okay, don't tell anyone.
Tell us! The world wants to know.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman! How good can it be? Chris, you like Wonder Woman? You like that costume?
Yeah, I'm just... I mean, oh, don't tell anybody. You realize this is nationwide sports radio.
Shh.
No, no, okay, it's our secret.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, Game 6, she'll be sitting with a big vat of popcorn. She'll be dressed from head to toe in a Wonder Woman one piece, and it will be fantastic. Happy Halloween to everybody. And in your words, go Astros. You want those Astros to bring it home.
I really do want them to bring it home. It'll be their first World Series ever. It's going to be tough. I'd love
well,
to see it.
We have brought it home. Thanks so much. The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait. You mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said. You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.